Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio joining us now. And as I prepare the program, just to remind you, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded to accommodate Tom's sleeping schedule since we are some 5 hours behind him. It's going on towards a little after 11 p.m. where Tom is, and I'm sure that he is snoozing soundly. And with that, in between the snoring sounds, Tom, good afternoon to you. Still asleep. Still asleep. Still asleep. So, what's happening in London?
Well, you always ask me about the weather first, okay?
Right.
So, the weather, I've got my sunglasses on, sitting inside here, because mm-hmm. I'm being blinded by this bright sunshine beaming down from a blue sky after 10 days of solid rain.
But wait a second. We were looking at the track for Hurricane Lorian, and looks like it's heading your way.
Well, we just had Hurricane Lorenzo.
Lorenzo, I'm sorry.
Tail end of it.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is the hurricanes start off in the off the coast of Africa, as you know.
Uh-huh.
Head up to the Caribbean, go along the east coast, right through Florida, stop off and wave at Morehead City.
Right.
And then bounce off the east coast and head across the North Atlantic. By the time they get across the North Atlantic and hit Britain and Ireland, and sometimes Scandinavia, they have lost their strength largely. They mm-hmm. still get gale force winds, but they dump an awful lot of rain.
Well, now, it's interesting because according to my map, it's Lorenzo, by the way. I misspoke there a few moments ago. I show it actually arriving there in Ireland later today or early, actually, later tomorrow, Thursday, and then having an impact there on the UK, and I say UK, England, on Friday. So you've already had most of that, or is it a precursor?
No, we've had rain mm-hmm. for about 10 days prior to today.
Uh-huh.
On one day, we had 2 weeks of rain in 2 hours.
Ooh.
Today it's absolutely gorgeous. It has that feeling of, it is bright blue skies. It's still a bit chilly. Bright blue skies, but the whole country has been washed. It has that clean, fresh feeling.
But
you're right. We are expecting strong winds, not hurricane force particularly.
Right.
But you never know. They may pick up, and more rain.
All right, so you two are expecting experience from Lorenzo. All right, we're chatting with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on viewpoints around the world. As a matter of fact, we're going to take on issues happening worldwide, but want to talk to you about the first and I guess most important issue, one that continues to resonate here in our audience, in our community, and that, of course, is Washington, D.C., and, well, the possible impeachment of President Trump, the Ukrainian connection, and, of course, now bringing in Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. What's the coverage of that there in the UK and in the European community?
Well, it's really sort of right up at the top. I mean, still, Brexit is, well, let's say they're sharing top billing at the moment.
Okay.
It was interesting, the cover of the of The Economist this week, which was a picture of Trump and Boris Johnson as Tweedledee and Tweedledum,
mm.
With the subheading of The Reckoning.
Okay. We'll get to Boris here in a few moments. What's the opinion then of the president's, his phone call with President Zelensky of the Ukraine?
Well, I think the opinion is that he made a huge mistake. David Cameron, who was prime minister up until the Brexit referendum, recently went on record as saying, I would not have had that conversation. I would have stopped it.
All right. Now, the other aspect of this is the whole fact that this conversation has been made public. Is that not disconcerting to world leaders? No matter, even if it was a harsh conversation or it was a matter of, we would call it locker room talk. Wouldn't the other leaders be a little concerned that this sort of thing would be made public? It would seem to me that one world leader talking to another world leader should be relatively benign. Maybe the subject may not be benign, but the fact that it happened, it's really distressing to me that you can't have between leaders really tete-a-tetes of quiet conversations.
Yeah, well, I think you've got a point there, except that, if one world leader is actually breaking the laws of his nation, you do run a risk, if you're at the other end of the line, of being dragged into it. And I think that's the way a lot of them are looking at it.
Well, the other aspect of this is, if you say breaking the laws, any conversation between two world leaders is just that. It's a conversation, isn't it?
No, it has not.
No,
it is policy. I mean, what President Trump has been accused of, I think we all know, which is soliciting the support of a foreign power for personal political gain.
Hold on.
I mean, that's what he's accused of.
The other aspect of this, and we've got to bring this into the topic conversation, and that is, of course, the 2016 campaign, which still is resonating, particularly in the United States, but also, I'd say, worldwide, over the nefarious actions of outside players, Ukraine being one of them, and also the relationship with a previous head of state, the vice president of the United States, Joe Biden, and his son. And there's some questions there about whether there was propriety in that relationship
as well.
What's
been reported here about Biden's son is that the Ukraine prosecutor said there's no question of Biden's son, Hunter Biden, doing anything illegal, that all of the investigations involving corruption in the gas company, I think it's Burisma, were 3 years before Hunter Biden became a director of the gas company. And so they cleared him. They never even questioned the fact that Hunter Biden was in any way involved. And the former Ukrainian prosecutor said it's a red herring.
Well, one has to wonder if it's a red herring in light of the fact that he is the son of the vice president of the United States. And, of course, there were funds available to the Ukrainian government through that administration. And even the vice president has bragged, although mistaken in a timeline.
I told you last week about that one, Lockwood.
The timeline was...
When Biden was bragging about that, he was part of a concerted effort involving several Western countries. All of whom were complaining about corruption involving the prosecutor.
But still,
it wasn't just Biden. It was a whole host of them who were threatening to reduce aid and everything else unless that prosecutor was removed from power simply because he was not prosecuting corruption.
But it's the perception that here is son, and by the way, the perception of reality. No, this is important, Tom. I have to say that there's real question and needs to be confirmed that there was no quid pro quo on this issue. But back to the issue of Ukraine. Let's talk about this for a moment. Ukraine has been identified as a player in particularly the U.S. elections, and matter of fact, it goes all the way back to the issue of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and of course, Vice President, there on the issue of the investigations of President Trump. And I'm wondering, what about that in relationship to the European community? Do they see Ukraine as being a question mark, some concern?
Oh, well, Ukraine has been a question mark of some concern for a long time. It is riddled with corruption. There's no doubt about it. And Zelensky was elected on an anti-corruption platform. And he is making some headway. This phone call with President Trump has probably been a bit of a blow to him. Oh, by the way, another thing which has hit the headlines here is Trump's retweeting of the tweet saying that if he is removed from office, there will be civil war.
Well,
that has really raised a lot of eyebrows over here.
You know, it's fascinating how tweets have suddenly become, you know, casual conversations, if you will, have become breaking news. That is, and we've same situation for a brief moment here, but it has disappeared as a top of the fold issue here in the States. Tom, I want to move on to other items here, but I've got to go back to this issue and just mention it related to tweeting and the digital media and what have you. This whole topic of the presidential campaign and the relationship of the Ukraine, has that generated any concerns among other world leaders other than the U.S.?
Oh, well, yes, obviously. I mean, you know, they're very concerned. You know, they're very concerned. Yes, of course they want stability in the U.S., but they don't want a president who is going to be asking them to dig up dirt on political opponents.
Well,
want to be dragged into American politics.
Okay, well, very interesting. But, you know, it's an issue of not being dragging up on dirt on political opponents. It's really determining what really happened in the 2016 election. And by the way, I have to say that's something that yet has been fully confirmed here in the States. But we'll get on to other items. We're going to take a quick break. We've got, of course, our guest this afternoon, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, calling from London, England. Stay with us here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, joining us from London, England. And yes, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule since it's some 5 hours ahead of us. So we're going to go right on into some issues. And as a matter of fact, I know that there were some items that actually occurred today there in London. It's late afternoon as we are chatting with him today. Tom, let's talk about Brexit. It's going to be a big issue, and I did see that some events were happening today that apparently Boris Johnson laid down the gauntlet, as it were, and said that Parliament has to make a decision on the Irish backstop, or he was not going to negotiate. I'm sorry, wasn't Parliament. It's the European Union has to make an agreement on the Irish backstop, or he was just going to withdraw any efforts to come to a conclusion related to Brexit.
Yeah, it looks as if we're heading straight for a no deal. He hasn't tabled his final proposals yet. We were hoping he would table them in a major speech at the Conservative Party conference in Manchester, but it looks as if they're going to be tabled at the end of the month. But the Daily Telegraph, which is quite close to Boris Johnson, did put out some details saying that he will put in border controls. Now, exactly what these border controls are being very vague. They're talking about setting up border controls 5 to 10 miles away from the border. But as far as the EU is concerned, border controls are border controls. They are unacceptable no matter how close they are to the border, and they can't be allowed. And so they will be rejected by the EU. They've said this umpteen times.
There's another concern here, and of course that is the establishment of a defined border was a concern related to the, if you will, the interior relationships between Ireland and Northern Ireland. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it's part of the Good Friday Agreement. It's part of the single market. It's basically one of the pillars to maintain peace on the island of Ireland, and it really is a huge issue.
Will this be part of the calculus in the conversation within Parliament? Because obviously, and this is one of those great issues associated with the, and I'm going to use the term, but very sensitively, the imperial nature of the UK, because Ireland and Northern Ireland, of course, are two different, for all intents and purposes, two different countries.
Yes, no, I, well, Depends on who you ask on
okay.
that one.
All right, yeah.
There are a lot of Irish people who would disagree with you on that. No, it would certainly be, you know, it's a can of worms in Parliament. It's a can of worms within the European Union. And it was always going to be one of the biggest sticking points for any withdrawal agreement. Of course, during the referendum campaign, the people wanted to withdraw, like Boris Johnson, the Brexiters or Brexiteers, said, oh, no, Ireland won't be a problem. Of course, you know, they were wrong.
What does this mean for, let's go to the issues of economic conditions there, particularly in the UK, and then we'll get over to Europe as well, because we've been seeing that basically the world economy is slowing down, part of it being accused that it's the tariff issue, the disputes between the US and China. But I'm wondering, what is happening there in the UK, and will that have any influence on Parliament, and what about Parliament and Boris Johnson?
Well, at the moment, Boris Johnson does not have a majority in Parliament. He cannot get any legislation through.
Okay.
He is basically been told he has to ask for an extension on the Brexit agreement so that we don't go out without a deal on the 31st of October. Parliament has passed legislation saying we cannot leave without a deal.
Okay, but what about
Johnson is trying to get around that.
Right.
We don't know exactly what he's going to do, but people at 10 Downing Street say that they are examining various loopholes. One of them is that he is putting out the possible threat that if the EU accepts a letter saying they want that Britain wants an extension, that a Johnson government will do everything possible to disrupt the business of the EU. So you don't want us in after the 31st of October. So reject any letter requesting an extension. That is the latest thing that's coming out of Downing Street.
How can he interrupt the economy of the European Union?
Well, the way it works is every country has a veto within what's called the European Council.
Okay.
There is a council for every portfolio. So there's a council for the finance ministers, the interior ministers, and the heads of government.
Okay.
And in those councils, every decision has to be reached by unanimous vote.
Okay. So if the UK remains in the European Union, it will have a vote, is what I'm understanding.
Yes, and it can just simply block everything.
Okay. Let's talk here about the role of Parliament in this. Can they actually stop Boris Johnson? It's fascinating. I myself don't comprehend the physical nature of this political arrangement. If Boris Johnson...
You have to remember that for a government to pass legislation, it has to have a majority in the House of Commons.
Okay.
And at the moment, he is 43 seats short of a majority.
Well, if they were to create a majority in the House and then vote to remove Boris Johnson, wouldn't that take care of the situation momentarily?
Well, that's what they're debating at the moment.
Okay.
The Remainer group, as it's called, which is not just the Labour Party, but several, is debating that internally themselves. The problem is who replaces him, because the largest other party is the Labour Party,
Jeremy,
and the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, is disliked and distrusted as much as Boris Johnson, if not more.
We're going to get back to Boris Johnson here in just a moment. But before I go to the break with you, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. The other aspect of this is the European Union itself. Are there members within the European Union who are beginning to wonder if the concept is going to work?
I don't think that's the case. They are seriously worried about Brexit. The economists are saying that if a no-deal Brexit goes ahead, the British economy could shrink by as much as 12% over the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and the EU economy could be hit to a tune of maybe 4%.
Okay, so the real impact, and again, this is all based on analysis, you know, supposition. I'll use that term.
Yeah, I mean, you're not sure. Economics is not a scientific. You can't work it in a laboratory.
No, but all right.
Or laboratory.
Well, the final conclusion is that Boris Johnson, and we're going to get back to him in just a moment, but he is in the midst. He did not. You said table his motion, which is basically to present it. Formally, that's the description, tabling there in the UK, has not been formally presented. By the way, I thought the date that he was talking about, the deadline, was either the 13th or the 15th of October for the European Union to make their decision.
It keeps moving.
Okay. All right.
It keeps moving. I would say what Johnson is doing now, he's flying kites.
Oh, to see which one? Okay. Understand fully.
Yeah.
All right. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. Joining us this afternoon, in this portion being pre-recorded since he is some 5 hours ahead of us. Tom, we were just chatting about Boris Johnson. I want to go to another issue of the Prime Minister, and that has to do with the continuing saga of his personal life. So what's happening?
You mean his sex life?
Yeah, what's happening there? More than I want to know, but what's happening?
The latest is a journalist who sat next to him at a dinner party who claims that he grabbed her thigh so hard that she sat bolt upright. He has a reputation, shall we say, at least two illegitimate children. I can't remember. I think he's had two marriages and his girlfriend is living with him in Downing Street. One of his affairs led to him having to resign from a ministerial portfolio because he tried to deny that he was having an affair. And when it was confirmed that he was, this was earlier in his career, when it was confirmed that he was having an affair, they forced him out of the a junior post in the cabinet early in his career. He has a real reputation as a philandering womanizer. One woman, Andrea Leadsom, one cabinet minister, says, "I would never share a cab with Boris Johnson. I would never be alone in a cab with him."
So how does he continue to get reelected?
He's just a very strong personality. You'll probably shout at me for this, but you could say the same thing about a certain president of the United States.
Oh, you mean the warm and fuzzy Donald Trump? No comparison whatsoever. All right. But it is fascinating. And, of course, let's just be candid here.
I mean, there's some people, you know, it's the Kissinger quote, you know, power being the most powerful aphrodisiac.
Yes, yeah. Well, the other aspect of this, and this is one that really surprises me, and that is that the UK has been known for, well, many decades that it's not unusual for British leaders to have consorts and things of this nature. It's not really kind of a...
No, I wouldn't say...
Really?
The British is certainly... No, aren't great. It's more the French.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Mitterrand actually had his mistress living in the Élysée Palace.
Yeah, I know.
Jacques Chirac, whose funeral was held this week, was notorious as a womanizer.
I know. I find it fascinating. All right, let's move on to other items. Staying with there in the UK, I did read with interest, apparently the Prince Harry and his wife Meghan are now, and by the way, the Duchess, I don't know her proper title, are now suing the Daily Mail over a letter she wrote to her father?
Yeah, well, the question is, it's not just so much the letter. She's gotten a very, very bad press ever since almost ever since she appeared on in the public eye.
Why?
Why? Well, there's several reasons. First of all, as we all know, good news doesn't sell newspapers.
Okay.
You know, that's number one. And we're right. talking about tabloid press, mm-hmm. especially. Tabloid press like to dig up as much dirt on everyone as they can, and everyone has some dirt. The other thing is, she does come from a highly dysfunctional family.
You know, it's become a standard.
And there is a, you know, the British like their people to come from nice, okay. quiet, reasonable family.
Could this be a matter of she is not a royal herself?
Kate Middleton,
Kate Middleton has
Prince
some.
Prince William's wife is not a royal.
But she has relationships.
I think, quite honestly, Lockwood, there is a huge elephant in the room as well.
Which is?
Which nobody mentions.
Which is?
And that is, she's mixed race.
Okay. By the way.
Nobody will say that they're racist. If you were to call them out on it, they would deny it. They would never make reference to the fact that she's mixed race. But they pick. Well, and I honestly believe, especially the very conservative, highly conservative right-wing press, that it is because she's mixed race.
Okay, the other quick question, and we'll move on to other items, because it's such a shame. And you mentioned Kate Middleton, but I have to say, if I'm not mistaken, she has within her progeny, within her her life, her family, isn't she related to Churchill?
He wasn't royalty.
Ah, but wait a second. Okay, he was not. But if from an American perspective, yeah, he is royalty. All right, let's move on to other items. Two faces of China, Hong Kong and Beijing. This is an important story, by the way.
You know, what was interesting is you had the 70th anniversary of the
People's Republic
of the Chinese Communist China.
Yeah, People's Republic of China.
You had all these parades and everything. Right. And at the same time, you had huge riots and someone actually got shot. I don't know what their condition is. Last I heard, they were critical. They were shot in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
The first person has been shot by a proper bullet in the Hong Kong demonstrations. None of the Hong Kong demonstrations were reported in mainland China. Not a word. Not a word was reported.
Not surprising. They did not want
complete news blackout.
Well, that we are talking China. I mean, why would anybody? Why would you even bring this up? I would never have expected it either. I mean, we're talking about a totalitarian government.
Because at some point, there's at some point perhaps, and my sinologist friends disagree with me. My sinologist friends say that the Chinese will continue playing the long game in Hong Kong. They will not intervene. They will just carry on trying to keep the lid on the situation in Hong Kong until eventually the demonstrators give up.
You don't think that is the case? You think that they will take
if they do have to crack down, then it's going to be a real shock for the people in the mainland because they're going to say, where did this come from?
Oh, all right.
Because they haven't known anything about it. There's been no preparation for them.
Well, I just don't anticipate in that environment that the Chinese government really cares what the populace thinks. All right, let's move on to other items. Real quickly, is there some concern, though, related to the future of Hong Kong and, in effect, world economy?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course there is.
All right, I just wonder.
You know, there's great concern, but it's not just Hong Kong. It's Taiwan as well.
Right.
There is concern. I mean, Hong Kong is a major part of the Chinese economy.
Mm-hmm. I just was wondering. I want to move on. We're running out of time here. You've got a note here, Al-Shabaab and the attack on Somalia.
Yeah, I thought I'd just make a note of that. I thought you might be interested because they were attacking an American base in Somalia. You know, what is Al-Shabaab? Al-Shabaab, for those who don't know, is affiliated. In 2012, they swore allegiance to Al-Qaeda. There's about 9,000 of them in Somalia. They control the southern half of the country. They've been pushed out of Mogadishu, but they are still very big. In their area of Somalia, they are imposing Sharia law, strict Sharia law, much like the Taliban in Afghanistan. And they continue to be a problem.
Well, this is going to be an interesting story simply because we've talked about this, how important Africa is and how disrupted North Africa is. And, of course, there are so many other conflicts around the world. This is one of those conflicts. And your quick response to this, if you will, Tom, this is one of those conflicts that most people have just ignored.
It is. It's been going on for over 20 years, and it just destabilizes all of East Africa. And if you get an area which is an area of political instability and there's this vacuum, it spreads out to the surrounding countries.
And
they are active not only in Somalia, but in Uganda and Kenya as well.
And, of course,
and Yemen.
And you've got the Persian Gulf in the nearby area as well. So all this is a real problem. Yep. And, of course, this has, if you will, some reminders about Afghanistan. But we won't belabor that issue today. Let's now move back to the European community. Anti-green tractor protest in the Netherlands?
Yeah, well, what it is basically the government in the Netherlands has been, the Greens in the Netherlands have been pressing for legislation against farmers for nitrogen oxide coming off of farms. You know, things like pig excrement, chickens, and things like that. And they want to slap taxes on it and try and cut back on the chicken and pig and cow industries. And as a result, the farmers have gotten out, tens of thousands of them, and blocked the roads with their tractors, saying, "We want to be green, but don't be ridiculous. What about, what about aeroplanes?"
I know. How true. Okay, that's the anti-green, the tractor protest in the Netherlands. Let's talk now about Austria swinging left.
Yeah, well, you've got elections coming up, and on Sunday, the Prime Minister or Chancellor, Kurz, who is a right of center, very right of center man, has... is almost certain to win. He's well ahead in the polls. Now, he was in coalition with a very far-right party called the Freedom Party. But they got stung in a scandal. And so it looks unlikely that he's going to form a coalition with them again. He's going to have the most number of seats, but he won't have a majority. And he can't get on with the left of center party called the Social Democrats. So it looks like he's going to form a coalition with the further left Greens, which is very odd. He's sort of swinging from a coalition with the far right to a coalition with the far left.
Now, quick question. What impact does this have, again, on the European communities? Austria, of course, is a relatively small country. It's not a highly industrialized nation that I know of. I mean, what impact does this have on the European Union community?
Well, you know, all the countries in the European Union, they watch each other.
Okay. So
if they're not, obviously, they're more important. Each country is more important than the state, but, you know. Okay. If California votes a certain way, it has an impact on you know, how another state might work, might vote.
So
that's what it is. And I think if Kurz moves to the left, it will encourage, in particular, Germany to think in terms of, well, you know, our fellow Germanic-speaking country has made that shift. Maybe we should move a little bit more to the left.
All right. We're hearing this now on Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We're going to continue the conversation in just a moment. We're going to talk about several items. One, the death of the pager. I'm interested in this. Stay tuned for more here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We're wrapping things up, and as always, just to remind you, the final item will be something I'm sure will catch your attention, and it's usually humorous, but we've got two items I do want to touch on. First, and very quickly, Tom, I saw in the news over the past few days that North Korea has launched another missile in advance of a possible conversation with President Trump. Now, what impact is that having in the communities there in the European region?
It's raised a lot of eyebrows because it looked as if it was launched from a submarine. Now, any missile launched from a submarine is effectively an intercontinental ballistic missile, because what is important is not how far it goes when it's launched, but what it can reach.
And once
so
it, once,
even
and the closer
if the missile
it is,
only has a reach of 200 miles, if that submarine is 200 miles away from Los Angeles, it will reach Los Angeles.
Right. Okay.
So it, you know, before Trump was saying, oh, we're not terribly worried about these intermediate range weapons. They don't affect us. A submarine launch missile does.
Okay, but the other aspect of this, and of course I'm wondering, is there any criticism of the president and, of course, his efforts to open negotiations with Kim Jong-un?
Not direct yet.
Okay, well,
it's obvious what Kim is trying to do. He's trying to negotiate from a position of strength.
One would also argue intimidate. All right, another quick item for you, and then we'll get to the issue of pagers. I did read with interest this morning, very early, that apparently the consumption of alcohol in Russia has declined. Now, I find it interesting because I know that alcoholism has been a big problem in Russia.
This is largely the result of the campaign by Putin. He's had a very successful health, fitness, anti-alcohol campaign. Historically, the Russians have been big drinkers of vodka.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's cold. It's really cold. They also have a problem in Scandinavia for the same reason, where, you know, Finns have their own version of vodka. They also have something called aquavit in Norway and Sweden and Finland, which is even stronger, I think, than vodka. And in all those countries, there is a problem, especially in the winter months, with alcoholism.
And of course, frankly, living under totalitarian government was a little depressing. Anyhow, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here with us. And next week, we're looking to hear a conclusion to the issue of Brexit. I'm confident by then he'll have it figured out. Tom?
You may have to wait a bit longer.
Best to you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Viewpoints around the world here on the Talk Station, FM 107, AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of the Talk Station.